Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
What a difference 3 hours makes, Mike Bell. I can hear you.
The show started, we had some, apparently it's in some parts of the city, there's been some issues with the interweb. I still have a man on his way, Carl, from Newlink, to make sure that I've got okay. The proper MS speed, yeah. Whatever the hell that means. But anyway, it was funny, Carl and I, we sounded like we were talking, like it was, and you and I were both about to be race cars in the red, but we kept our composure. That's personal growth. See, that's where the anger management techniques come in.
Well, we knew it was no one's fault, especially at the station and Christian.
Well, people I want to blame, but
okay,
I
would you no. Stop it. Great job, Chris and Sean and everybody. So
right on.
I'm just saying things are. And if you listened to it, you'd never know because, as Mike said, we are professionals. We're just letting you behind the curtain. With that said, I want to mention this. Ace Sanders, and I want to ask you this before we get into some Falcon conversation. He hits us up on Twitter. He says Justin Fields. We were just talking about him with Bo. He says he also has the Ohio State stigma. He says, think about this. Haskins, Barrett, Jones, Mike, you've brought this up. Pryor,
right.
Miller, all had great Ohio State careers but did not translate to the NFL. So let me ask you this. And A. Sanders, thank you for that. Mike and I have kind of hit on this a little bit. But is that going to hinder you from drafting Justin Fields because of what these guys didn't do?
Well, that's just it. One shouldn't have anything to do with the other. But to be quite honest, the most successful Ohio State quarterback is Mike Tomczak.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you want to break it down, guys, I mean, whatever your metric, however you want to get there, I mean, Troy Smith, I mean, JT Barrett, Braxton Miller, Haskins, all the guys that were part of that national championship year.
I know.
Craig Krenzel. I mean,
Pryor, he's a wide receiver.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Bobby Hoying. Arch Schleister is more famous for his gambling situation off field. So, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit, Tom Tupa. I mean, a lot of good guys were wearing baseball hats on the sideline. Kent Graham was with the Giants.
They're all system quarterbacks, Mike.
Well, they're all bunch of busters. But here's the thing. I mean, again, it's funny. I would say that one shouldn't have anything to do with the other, but it does come up in the conversation. It's always sort of, and ... he's an Ohio State quarterback. But we know that he should have been a Georgia Bulldog quarterback, but that's water under the bridge.
A. Sanders, I just don't allow the past failures, okay, of what those guys accomplished or did not accomplish hinder me from drafting the guy I think is the best guy for. And if that guy is Justin Fields, I'm drafting him. So,
but then the also thing is you're not going to throw him out there in season one. Matt Ryan's going to be our quarterback. And we're just throwing it out there. They might think Matt Ryan's going to ride out this contract. Arthur Blank may have mandated it. I don't know. We think most conventional
wisdom.
He's
a Falcon for life.
But whether it's a guy who studies the cap like Joel Corey or some of the things you've seen on some of the networks, I saw something the other day, last week on Good Morning Football, that, you know, conceivably that Matt could be on the move after one more year or perhaps two. Either way, the point is, just like Aaron Rodgers, you don't have to throw him out there. But the thing is, in a city like Atlanta, it's people are going to want to see the backup. Then again, you know how people stand up for Matt. People get upset we're even having this conversation that we're going to go quarterback.
So we have to have it because it is a reality of where we sit in the draft. And here's the other thing. As we talk about the Falcons, Falcon Report, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, and Domino's has got some new menu items, mixing and matching, Carl, with all sorts of fun stuff you get to do now. And we'll give you more details on that when Mike finds the script. But anyway, guys, go to Domino's.com. Here's the thing, though. Matt Ryan is going to be our quarterback at least this year. Do you believe that there's some, would you put credence into that? The big picture, the lesser the hit, when you see all these teams eating such monstrous cap numbers around the NFL. And these are guys that don't even have half the resume Matt Ryan had, speaking obviously about Wentz and a guy like Goff.
Yeah, I just think it's not smart by the front office to be selfish, because that's what this would be. It would be different if I felt like Matt was not playing at a level in which we could still not only win games, but win this division and win a championship. He is. If he wasn't and they held on to him, then I'd feel differently. But we're not in that predicament, Mike. And so it would be just selfish of our front office to say, yeah, we're going to take a $40-plus million cap hit because we're ready to move on. That is where we are. Next year is different. And next year, I'll worry about next year. But right now, this is what I think. And so to answer your question, no, I think he's here. He's our guy. I think we'll go into camp and things will be what they've been for the last, you know, umpteenth years as the Falcons quarterback. And I'm fine with that. I want to see what they do around Matt. But it doesn't discount the question about where we go at four. And so here's the other part of this. And we talked a little bit about this in the Blitz. And I just think it's interesting because you can tell me you don't react to what happens in our division. But I just think that's a lie. The way the Saints have drafted and what they've done, you try to counter those things. They go get a pass rusher, we need another tackle.
Right.
They go get another wide receiver, we need another corner. Because you're looking at your division and going, how do we win our division to get to the playoffs, and how do we match up? We brought this up earlier. The Panthers guys have cleared almost $40 million under the cap. Their owner's name's Dave Tepper. I believe he is trying to set his team up to go after Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off, but I do think he is adamant about Teddy Bridgewater not being the quarterback. And I said this to Mike. Bridgewater, if you didn't, you might not have paid attention. I don't expect people to do this. But he unfollowed the team on social media Saturday.
Uh-oh.
So when,
and by the way, we said this earlier. It's not like we're patting Teddy Bridgewater on the head. Just the fact he got up, just like Alex Smith, just the fact that his knee was spaghetti. Some guys thought he was never going to play quarterback again. Back up for a couple years with the Saints. He's able to bankroll that into some guaranteed money. $30 million is nothing to sneeze at. But I don't think there was many people out there who didn't think this was going to simply be the gap. This is going to be the bridge guy until Carolina finds the next guy. Now, that next guy could be Deshaun Watson because, as you said, he's a 13 times over billionaire, and he's used to getting what he wants. But there are rules, and you've got to make space to make it happen, and part of that would be getting Teddy Bridgewater off the books.
So it doesn't save them a lot of money this year, but next year it saves them $20 million. So, again, you're thinking long-term, and how do we get to what we want now, and then long-term, building around whatever that quarterback's going to be. So I say that to say, now, if this happens, Mike, and let's just say it does for the purposes of this conversation, does that change the Falcons' thought about what we do it for? Now, are you thinking, okay, Deshaun's in this division for the next 10 years. Are we going to get our young guy and build around him? Or do you still go with whatever plan it is that you feel like is the best plan for right now? That's the question.
Hey, guys, it's our Falcon Report. Thanks to our staff. It takes a village to make a radio show, Carl, as you said, whether it's engineering, our guys behind the scenes. Thanks for getting me the script. There's lots of variety, Carl, on the radio, and there is at Domino's, too, where you can get any two or more mix-and-match items for just $5.99 each. Bone-in wings, handmade pan pizza, bread bowl, possibly extra. Ask for this offer, guys. Get the details at Domino's.com.
So here's a couple other guys, by the way. We think the cap's going to be somewhere, we said around 185 is what we're talking about. But if the TV deal, and we brought this up last week, if the TV deal, you know, puts the NFL over the top, okay, let's just say 190 at the max. But it's not going to be anywhere close to where we thought it would be, which was 210, 215, which would have given more teams, like our Falcons, more money to spend. But, Mike, here's a couple of guys, too, that could end up in other places that could affect the draft, that could affect – us and trade partners and teams wanting to move to get their guy. Garoppolo. 49ers, Mike. Mm. They cut him. They clear $23 million cap space. Bridgewater. You save $2.9 this year, but $20 million next year.
Right.
Washington is moving on. We know this because they signed their quarterback, but that doesn't mean they're going to draft one. Not draft one. Alex Smith, by moving on, they're saving $14 million this year. $14.7 million. These are teams. The reason why this is important is because sitting at four, there may be a lot of teams, Mike, who go, you know what? We got to go get one of those quarterbacks. Falcons.
Right.
Let's make a deal. Then what do you do?
And by the way, there's two things you and I have been talking about since the jump. Do you sit here and make your moves on the draft day? Do you get your quarterback in the future? Do you try to pull some big kind of deal off? We don't have the cap space right now in the immediate short future to do anything. We're not in the mix for any of those quarterback roulette wheels like, you know, Deshaun Watson and all that. Did you see the article that Steve Hummer posted today?
No.
From The Athletic?
What was he talking about?
Basically talking about, with the quarterback, it is kind of like Russian roulette in the sense that, are you going to get Deshaun Watson or are you going to get Mitchell Trubisky? And the fact that, you know, are you going to get Blaine Gabbert or are you going to get Baker Mayfield? In other words, in a nutshell, it is, there's no guarantee. And you mentioned it. You talked to a personnel guy the other day who said Zach Wilson's kind of a sense of entitlement, or maybe he's not all that in a bag of chips.
Yes.
Meanwhile, obviously, Zach Wilson's agent hears that, because no sooner do you and I talk about it on the radio, not just us, but other people obviously heard it too, all of a sudden they got his coach making the rounds, telling anybody who listened that he's like the greatest thing to ever walk out of Provo, Utah. So yeah. If we were in a position and we had the equity and the cap space to move up and do things to go get a guy, Trevor Lawrence, I would. And I'm high on Justin Fields, but I have no idea what I want to do here. I've literally been equivocating on this since the season ended. Trade down, because that's basically what Steve's article with the crux of it was, you could trade down and load up and still find your quarterback of the future.
Well, that's why knowing what other teams may be trying to do, and then knowing their draft position and why they may want to move and maybe go to four and make a deal with us is key. We got a lot of leverage, Falcon fans.
Bro, we could trade down.
A lot
down.
Of leverage.
Carl, could you imagine going into this draft, picking somewhere in the top 20, and then having a second rounder, a second, right, third rounder, and a potential, right, next first rounder for the next season?
See, so that to me is key. And you know, as far as Zach Wilson, I'll say this. I didn't give our listeners that information. He's a guy that's on our radar because, again, we may go quarterback. I didn't give our listeners that information to blast him.
No, it's out there.
I gave it because, and I won't reveal sources, but I gave it because I thought it was valuable to our assessment of, why is this guy continuing to move up the draft board? The Jets may draft him at two, Mike. I asked you last week, am I missing something about this kid?
Yeah, I don't know. You're not defined by one game. What would Josh Allen's biggest game ever have been that you and I would have watched, right, at Wyoming?
Right.
I look at that Coastal Carolina game. I'm like, that's the only time I watch the guy. I mean, not impressed. The level of competition out there, I'd rather go with a guy who beat up Clemson the way Justin Fields went toe-to-toe with the best thing since sliced bread in Trevor Lawrence and beat him. Speaking of sliced bread, five crust, Carl, with Domino's week-long carryout deal. You get any of Domino's five crust with up to three toppings any day of the week. Details at Domino's.com.
All right, guys, that's our Falcon report. By the way, one of our listeners says, Dukes and Bell, I don't think any good quarterbacks came out of Clemson or Texas Tech before Watson and Mahomes.
Please, sir, are you not familiar with Charlie Whitehurst?
Okay. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. How about them Hawks?
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, man, that boy went to work last night. Trae Young, big night for the Hawks as they beat the Nuggets. Nuggets were a team, Mike, that shined in the bubble, man. People were talking about the Nuggets getting to the NBA Finals. Obviously, they did not, but they have a nice squad. And last night, it was good to see the Hawks respond the way they did, especially, and I think you've been talking about this, with John Collins, you're saying Friday night he was absent?
Yeah, Friday night he was kind of MIA, had an off night, and I think the point I was watching, he was 0-for-10 from the floor. That's not good. If you feel that somehow he's trying to shop his wares and impress other folks, that's not exactly what we're looking for. What he put up last night, it was kind of it was a slow start for him as well. I don't know if the Nuggets are sleepwalking through this East Coast swing, but they've lost to the Celtics, the Wiz, they beat the Cavs, and they've lost to us. I caught somebody sent me a little snippet of their play-by-play guys going, I don't know what's going on with this team. We're sleepwalking through the first half. So I apologize. I don't know who, is it Hot Rod? I forget who was doing the color commentary for the Nuggets. But anyway, somebody was going off on them. That's a them problem. All I know is the Hawks trying to stem the bleeding, because we've been struggling, bro. We've talked about this. I love the win over the Celtics, and I just thought everything just kind of – all that good mojo kind of went out the door the next night, right, when we lost to them up in Boston.
It did.
But as far as the Nuggets, man, hey, Trey did his thing. Shoot your shot. And John Collins finished with 12 points. He was 0 for 5 from 3-point range, 5 of 13 shooting. Trey was fielded. He was 4 of 7 from 3-point range. And Clint Capella, who are the guys doing their job night in, night out? It's Trey. It had been DeAndre Hunter before the injury, and Clint Capella.
Let's hear Trey talk about this win over the Nuggets. He hit some shots last night. They were just become very, you know, marquee Trey. I thought the best play of the night was his left-hand alley-oop, which if you tried to throw that, I don't care how much you practice, and most guys, especially if you're a right-handed player, even though you can dribble with your left and do things with your left, to throw a 33-foot alley-oop to John Collins with your left hand was just so right. It was awkward looking, but it was so beautiful in the same sentence. He made 11 of 13 free throws. We're talking about Trey last night. Here's what he said about the win.
I mean, shots are going in, and it's kind of just a trickle-down effect, and our defense was great tonight. They hit a lot of tough shots, and they got some guys over there who can really play and hit tough shots. But for the most part, we made it tough for them, and did a really good job on their main guys.
Yeah, Mike, I just thought he asserted himself more last night. And, right. You know, I believe this is where we are. This is what Trey's going to have to do. Now, they're at Cleveland tomorrow night. You'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It doesn't get any easier. We talked about this next week. You know, you got the Celtics Wednesday night. That's the home game. We're giving you a chance to win tickets to. We'll tell you more about that here in just a little bit. At OKC, I mean, you got a couple of tough games coming up. And then next week you got three games before the All-Star break, which is going to be, you know, March 7th, should I say. But last night was one of those games, and Trey was asked afterwards, you know, when you put up 35 and 15, okay, so what do you think about all this All-Star stuff? Here's how he answered it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I feel like I'm All-Star this year, but it's not up to me. It's not up to me. I just go out there and try to figure out ways to win games. I mean, I feel like with what we've been through and with all the guys we have gone, I think with the guys we have now, we're getting better. And that's all I'm focused on, and that's all I care about. And but yeah, I feel like I do believe I am, but at the same time, it's not my main focus.
Yeah, man. Trey just continues to, as you said, Carl, shoot your shot, do your thing, whatever this dynamic, unless, as Steve Kunin says, we're overthinking this and there is nothing to see here. John Collins, 20 points on Wednesday and then 20 points the last two games, but that's okay. There's ebbs and flows over the course of the year. He had his monster games this year, as you pointed out, against the Mavs. That's why the Mavs are interested in him, because he kills them. But just notice, I just thought in the loss the other night that John was really like non-existent, and then last night it was a kind of a slow start. Again, hopefully he'll snap out of it against Cleveland. It's a long season. But I'm not making excuses, because we know this team, what they're capable of doing. And to your point, Trey, I love the job. Capella, by the way, that's one of the best moves that the Hawks have made in recent history, as far as, you know, trades, to bring Capella over here and the impact he's had.
Fits perfectly. I remember when we made the deal, and I was super excited because in Houston, you know, it was a similar situation. Obviously, James Harden wasn't passing him the ball, but he right. was lobbing the ball to him and basically was told, go get boards and play D. And you look up, and I said this, every night it was 20 and 15. You're like, they didn't run a play for Capella. And that's just his effect on the game. Last night, I thought his job on Jokic was amazing. I mean, and he said, look, I went into this game, I want to challenge myself tonight, because Jokic is a top two or three MVP candidate, and he's right. You know, but he's not like a high flyer guy. We're talking about, you know, Jokic from the Nuggets. He's crafty. He knows how to get his shot off, Mike. He scores. He can shoot threes for a big guy. He's unique in that way, and I think most people got a real good shot of what his mm-hmm. abilities are in the bubble. But last night, Capella did a hell of a job on it, man. So,
right.
You know,
no, I mean,
I'm with you. I think it was one of the better acquisitions as far as the Hawks are concerned in a very, very long time.
And I think part of it was, I just looked it up, it was February 5th, the trade went down, and then he was injured, so we didn't get to see him, and then the shutdown started with COVID, and then, of course, we didn't make the bubble. That's so right. I think for a lot of Hawks fans, guys were kind of lukewarm at the time, but now you're seeing what this guy's about. Look, get DeAndre Hunter back. John Collins, by the way, is averaging, 19.3 per game. So I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill with John. I'm just, you know, yes, did I bet the game against the Celtics? Okay, I did on Friday. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, I digress. I digress again. So, Johnny, you're killing me. I've learned, you know, just, you know, John Collins is killing me with Hawks bets historically. But that's why you kids at home shouldn't be gambling. By the way, speaking of gambles, what the was Draymond Green thinking about the other night? Did you see his meltdown in the technicals at the end of the game?
No, I did not. Was that the game that Steph did not play? Was that the same game?
This is where Draymond Green goes off. For those of you who didn't see it, I was watching it on SportsCenter. They were talking a lot about it. And even Steve Kerr had to say, this is really stupid, bro. You've got to pick your spots. Mm. Game's on the line. We've seen him launch. If you didn't see it, we've seen him launch crazy shots. But in this case, Draymond Green, quote, crossed the line, a double technical with 9.3 seconds left in the game. It was a game was going down the wire. They were leading by two over the Hornets when he totally loses his cool, won't stop. Kind of like what you saw in the finals against the Cavs, where he just, you know, it's almost like, you know, a guy gets so worked up, he just can't get off that train.
Right, right.
And it just, I know because you and I, we've talked about my anger management issues, but if you didn't see it, even Steve Kerr called him out. I was like, come on, dude, you got to grow up. You crossed the line and it's just plain stupid, especially at the time that it came across. And then he backtracked and said, we love his passion and energy. But if you hadn't seen the video, it was like the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
Hasn't Steve Kerr been caught though on Mike saying that, like calling Draymond out before? I want to say a couple of years ago he did that, but you know, right. The deal is this guy is, and I won't even say crazy, as uncontrollable at times as he is, because he ain't crazy.
But when he just gets amped up, there's no getting off it. He's like, right. What's the old Beastie Boys line? He's Buddy Rich when he flies off the handle. He can't stop.
But you've won championships with this dude, right. And so you know what he's capable of. But, yeah, I agree. No, Mike, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, there was a game over the weekend where Steph was supposed to play. I think it was in Charlotte. And he comes out, and they warm up, and then his dad calls the games for Charlotte. And they're about a minute into the game, and you know, him and the play-by-play guy are like, where's Steph? And his dad's like, I don't know. He was just out here. And his dad makes a funny joke, like, you want me to text him? I got his number. And come to find out, he was sick, so he didn't play. So I think that might be the same game you're talking about with Draymond. Hey. By the way, injuries real quick. Reddish, right Achilles soreness. He's probable for tomorrow's game. This is according to the Hawks. Rondo is questionable. With low back pain, questionable. And then Bogdanovich out, Chris Dunn out, DeAndre Hunter out. Those three have been out. We know at some point Bogdanovich is going to be back. Chris Dunn had the platelet thing done, Mike. We know about that last week, I think it was. And then Hunter, we still got at least five, maybe six more weeks before we see DeAndre Hunter.
And, hey, by the way, we mentioned this earlier in the show. I also should give him some love again. Again, sometimes it's how your roster is put together and guys who come up and surprise you. But last night, when it mattered, had some important buckets. How about Tony Snell last night?
Yeah, he was big.
Off the bench.
No doubt. I think the bench last night, when you talk about for our Hawks, you got – I still would like more. But, listen, whether it's Solomon Hill with the 80s hairdo on some nights, whether it's Okongwu, who's been okay. He had 9 points last night. He's not terrible. But, yeah, Snell and Gallinari gave us each 12 off the bench. That's what I need. I need 12 to 15 from those guys on any given night. So, I'm with you. The bench played well. Let's hear Nate McMillan real quick. We're talking about the Hawks. It's our strong arm story of the day. They get a big win last night against the Nuggets. He was talking about defense. And you keep talking about Coach Pierce and how he wants to play defense, but we haven't consistently done it. Here's what Nate McMillan said about our team last night.
Well, it's the thing that Coach has been talking about, you know, really the last few weeks is the pressure, making these guys feel us, being aggressive defensively. I thought our guys tonight established themselves on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and that was key. It really was. Mm-hmm. More intensity defensively. Trey, let's be more assertive. All right. Guys are going to get their shots because they got to defend you. They've got to make a decision on how they want to defend you. And when they start running double teams at him, Mike, Herter, free looks. Reddish, you're going to get shot. That's how this thing can work and work fairly easy while we're still trying to get over these injuries.
Hey, man, Gallinari, as you mentioned, with 12. When we see Bogdanovich out there, when we see Rajon Rondo, it's his birthday today, by the way, but when you see Rondo out there, I mean, that we still haven't really, to Steve Koonin's point last Friday, come close to seeing the full complement of pieces, especially all the guys we added in the offseason.
All right, man, we got plenty more to get to, including some guy talk, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man, the coach who said, I'm going to bite your knee, and we're gonna bite your knee again. The Lions coach, is he cool with being called a meathead? And we broke into it earlier. We'll break it down. The Cam Newton and this young buck running his mouth. It's on the way. Yeah, man. It's time for some guy talk here on Dukes and Bell, brought to you by our buddies at Cricket Wireless. Real quick, Carl, today is National Margarita Day. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Michelle said we're going to get some.
Yeah, I just... So, okay, good. At least you and I think alike. I just sent Becky down to Publix to get some margarita mix. So, I mean, this when you hear this, you gotta step up to the plate, right? Yeah. I mean, this is the monkeying around. Hey, Cricket Wireless guys, get more of what you love. Smile, you're on Cricket, and they bring us Guy Talk today. Freddie Freeman had twins. A lot of that going on in this town. Matt Ryan and his wife had twins. And a few people asked me today on Twitter about that. I don't know the exact date. I remember that Matt's wife, they were out of caution. She went in the hospital, and there was obviously there were some tense moments there. But I believe that happened in mid-February as well, I want to guess, for Matt Ryan. But either way, Freddie Freeman on Twitter announced that he and his lovely wife have had another two kids to make it five altogether. Chelsea, I can't find the names of the kids, but they had twins. So congratulations to Freddie Freeman.
Well, with this new contract...
Got a lot of mouths to feed.
They're going to be all right. But congratulations, man. We love Freddie. He's a class act. And you know, again, there's nothing like bringing a child into the world. And so this is, what, five you said now? Five for them?
Yeah, they have a son, and now they've got twins. That makes five in a family altogether. All right. So pretty sweet.
Yeah, man, it is. But, Mike, I think it was Laura who sent that to us earlier and said, Freddie and Chelsea had twin boys yesterday. Did Matt and Sarah have twin boys 3 years ago on the same day? She's asking the question, and Laura, I'm not sure. We're going to have to look that up to make sure, because I don't want to say, yeah, and we're not. That's not right.
But I'll put our crack staff on that. By that, I mean Squidbilly. We'll look that up now. So there you go. Matthew Stafford had twins as well.
Sure did. Yes.
So I know Matt and him are their friendly. But anyway, congratulations to the two, Freddie and the Freemans. And eventually they'll get this deal done. Alex Anthopoulos told us a couple of times that it'll be no big lead up to it. It'll just happen, and then the deal will go down. And there will be the peace. Hey, man, Cam Newton, we started talking about this. I didn't see the audio or the video, I should say, till last night. I got on the computer about 10 o'clock, and then I saw this. And I was cringing when I saw that young kid just heckling Cam Newton. This was initially it was described as a camp, and that's not accurate. It was a 7-on-7 football tournament, and the kid's team, I believe, is from Philadelphia or some suburb in Pennsylvania. And Cam Newton was there with his team to coach. Not sure how it got started, but if you hadn't heard, here's what happened as Cam is getting razzed by a kid.
You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
He's a free agent.
Where your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad.
So for those who are not following, the kid's going, you're a free agent. And Cam Newton's like, and again, I think he was kind of joking at first because he's in the worst position possible. First off, you got a teenager who doesn't know which way is up, acting like a complete jackass. Cam, obviously, for those who are not familiar, has done some great things in the communities everywhere he's lived and worked. We know that, the stuff that he does here in town. So, again, we've had Cam on the show. So Cam Carl finds himself in a miserable no-win position with the kid. It goes viral. Cam and him basically going back and forth. And the kid, I just didn't get it. Later on, if you didn't hear the audio, Cam posts this video. He gets a chance to try to talk to the kid, and I'm not sure the kid's catching it. Take a listen.
Nah, ain't no disrespect. You know, if you want some attention, I'm going to give you some attention. The right way, bro. The right way. When do y'all play?
We play tomorrow.
What was y'all record today then?
1-2. No, 2-1.
What did you do? No, I wasn't able to see because y'all was two.
Cameras on me.
All right, bro. What did he do, man? Does he play?
He got speed.
He got speed?
No, he's let his speed.
Oh.
Huh?
Nah, you ain't. Don't act shy. Bro. Don't act shy.
I'm sitting right here.
I'm asking. I couldn't see today.
Late Sunday, the player identified as Percolman Valley High School's Jaseth Owen issued a statement, Carl, apologized for all of that. First, as a father, what do you make of that? Because luckily I don't have kids, and if I did, and if I ever pulled that, my dad would have given me such a beating, my head would be spinning sideways.
There's grown folk business, and I remember as a kid, okay, and grown folks would come over to my parents' house, and we had to leave the room because it was grown folk business. And you don't address grown people that way. Now, for me, here's the thing. Cam is taking time out to go to this camp to show his support. And I find it interesting, that second audio piece there, Mike, where he says, I'm going to show you, you want my attention? Right. I'm going to show you attention the right way. And Cam realizes, really, that's what all this young man wanted, right? Whether or not he did it, tried to get it in the right way, instead of saying, hey, Cam, can I talk to you? Or What do you think? Can I get some advice from you? He tried to make a scene out of it, and you know, Cam Newton's made over $100 million in his life, Mike. $100 million. He was the first overall pick in the NFL draft. This kid's done nothing. Zero. We don't even know if he'll even be a college player. I have no idea what his future holds. But the fact is, respect, man. Respect this dude. Respect what his time coming out, trying to support and encourage and build up other young black men. And this kid is fronting like this? I mean, he needed to be slapped, seriously. And that's what I think a lot of NFL players are like, what is this crap? Because, again, people take for granted, like, this is what guys are supposed to do. They don't have to do any damn thing. But when they do, this is not what should happen.
No, I couldn't believe it. It was, as I said, cringeworthy. I think you know why we can blame the parents, at least for one thing, Carl. They named their kid J-Seth.
Yeah. What letter did they leave out there?
I'm not sure. J-S-E-T-H. Yeah. Either way, apparently
he's supposed to be Jason.
He's a wide receiver. I mean, I went, now look, again, we went to sports camps. The only sport I really had any aptitude. I was a decent baseball player, but nothing for college. I played hockey goalie. I used to go to goalie camps. The idea that we would ever razz anybody, first off, the hockey players would give us a throw as a beating. There was no camera phones back then.
Well, anyway, can I say this too? The good players, they know who the good players are.
Right.
Okay. Right. When Cam shows up, I guarantee you they tell him, need to watch 6, 12, 83. He knows. So but if I got to ask who you are, what team you're on, Mike, you're probably one of those kids that, you know, you're good, but you're not that good.
Well, that's just it. And as we said, a lot of folks are, again, I don't want to sound like my dad, but it's hard as hell not to when you see all this stuff. And it's like, it's almost like when you see wide receivers and people, and it could be any position in sports, when you see people, a lack of civility, you see athletes, you see politicians, everybody acting like a jackass. This actually does have an effect on kids because you're seeing it. The kid, by the way, J-Seth, does apologize, Carl. Now listen to this.
And I'm glad he did because – Mike, you said when we started this conversation earlier today, when we were talking about it, you know, everybody's looking for their viral moment, right? And this kid basically went viral, but for me, it was all the wrong reasons. Like, that's what we shouldn't have been talking about is, you know, hey, you're going to be a free agent. Sit down, man.
No, I mean, the world we live in, like today, like, you know, we joke around about it. Like, if we said, for instance, if we do draft Zach Wilson, we will have Zach Wilson on the show and we say, you know, we thought you looked like some of the bad kids in Cobra Kai. And that's a conversation Carl and I will have because I think I give us credit. If we talk smack, at least we do tell the athletes when we have them on, oh, by the way, here's things we've said, just so we don't look disingenuous. And again, we would then apologize and get on with the conversation if it ever came to that. I see things every day and it just blows my mind. The kid didn't issue an apology. It goes on and on and says that his parents didn't raise him that way. Because obviously the parents are catching flack because you, me, everyone who does sports talk radio, people around the water cooler, if you had a water cooler to be around, will sit there and go nuts. One guy on our Twitch line says, the kid just running his mouth. He wanted attention. He tried to make a scene out of nothing. Exactly right. Exactly right. That's all it was.
That's why I really love the way Cam addressed that. And that second piece of audio wasn't what was being talked about. It was more of the kid popping off early. But when he said, you want my attention, I'm going to give it to you the right way. I thought that was beautiful because that's exactly what was going on. But again, some of these young cats, they just don't know how to say, hey, sir, hey, Mr. Newton, can I get your opinion on something, you know? Instead of trying to pop off and make a scene. Right.
Speaking of popping off and making a scene, Dan Campbell, the Lions coach, for those who don't remember, Chris, let's hear what the new man in Motown sounded like a few months back or last month.
All right, and so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
All right, that's enough. I've heard enough. All right, Chris, you can stop it right there. Anyway, Carl, you, me, everybody else in America, people in Detroit said, boy, this guy sure sounds like a meathead. Well, according to Dan Campbell, he's happy with you calling him a meathead. He said apparently spoke with Chris Spielman the other day. He said he loves the fact we're only known as meatheads. I'm a meathead. I have limited brain capacity. I like that people think that. I'm good with that. You know what I mean? I've got zero problem with it. He said the whole press conference was literally for our team and for our fans in our community. He goes, I want to be in Detroit. So he backs up basically sounding like a bad WWE wrestling promo. Your thoughts?
Prove it. It's a prove it league, Mike. Let's see. Is he in the league in 3 years or is it a clown show? I mean, there's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to be, you know, extra for the presser to get attention. And then do you really know what you're doing? Can you motivate men? Can you get the right players in the right position to be successful? All that's still yet to be determined. Right now, my assessment of him was that presser was an L.
I'm with you, brother. All right, let's check the market, see if we got an L today ourselves. All right, man, it's actually kind of a meh day, Carl. The Dow Jones was up 27 points. S&P 500 was down 30. NASDAQ closes 2.5% lower as big tech apparently taking some hits. The NASDAQ down 341 points. That's probably shouldn't have looked at that. Now I'm in a bad mood. Let's take a look at birthdays today. One of my great thrills, you and I talk about some of the people you and I've got to meet. Every time we see him, because we see him around at State Farm a lot when we're able to go to games, Dr. J, Julius Erving, first poster I ever put on my wall is a 71, well, actually Tom Seaver, then Dr. J, is 71 today, and Dr. J is still living around here. Drew Barrymore turns 46. Rajon Rondo, as I mentioned, is 35 today.
Yeah, well, listen, and I hope he gets healthy so we can start seeing him more on the floor. Happy birthday.
Yes, I agree. Khalil Mack is 30. Vijay Singh is 58. Not well-liked on tour. Actor Thomas Jane is 52. George Washington was born on this date in 1732. Steve Irwin would be 59 today.
Ooh.
Remember him down under? Got killed by the stingray and all that?
Yeah.
Family now does
the
TV.
His son's doing that stuff now.
Right on. Robert Kardashian would be 77 today. Niki Lauda would be 72 today. Passed away 2 years ago, honored by the Mercedes team with Lewis Hamilton. I mentioned Sparky. Also, on this date in 1980, Al Michaels, famous "Do You Believe in Miracles?" Yes, we beat those dirty Russians in Lake Placid, arguably the greatest moment in American sports.
That is so true. Hey, we want to give you a chance right now. This is one of the coolest things we've done in a while, to be caller number 9-404-741-0929. That's the phone number, 404-741-0929. That is the phone number. Caller number 9. All right, you're going to win an exclusive VIP code to see an advanced screening of Coming to America 2. Thursday, March 4th is the date. You're going, where do I have to be? Nowhere. You put the code in, you get a chance to stream the movie before it releases globally on Amazon Prime Video, March 5th. You want to check out Coming to America 2? Be calling number 9 right now on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, top 3 at 6.
All right, Chris, I want to go talk to my cable guy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.